Well, I've never been the administrator of the Lord's Supper before, so this is all new to me. So anyway, y'all pray for me. But bringing a message on it probably wouldn't be too hard, but doing that down there would be different, right? And so, you know, I've never done it before, and we're going to do this a little slightly different this morning, and I'll kind of give you reasons why. And the purpose is not to be legalistic about this or anything like that. But we use wine for a reason. We use unleavened bread for a reason. And so the things we do here should be for a reason, you know. And the reason should be to point to Christ and what he has done for us. And so that will be our only intention about doing anything different. Okay. Now I want you to think about something for a minute before we get into it. Matthew 7:14, you don't have to turn there, I'll read it. It says, "Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Think about that for a second. Few be that find it. So when we compare salvation of people to the world, there is a large number that are saved through the ages, I understand that. But when we compare it to the world, all the people that have ever lived in the world, it's few. He says here, few be that find it. So think about that for a second. If you look out into the world today, many religious, and I mean, look at the Muslim world. How many of them are that? Yeah. Millions of them. Do they know Christ? No. Jesus said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. By trusting what he did. And you see religion all over the place. And so I would say that the vast majority of the people in the world today do not have the propitiation of Christ covering them. Now when you think about that, how precious is this thing we call salvation? Yeah. It is so precious that we are saved and that the Lord has given us faith to trust in our Savior. And then on top of that, how few are really in a church? I mean, I know the saved people out there, they're probably in no church. And yet, what we are about to do this morning is a church ordinance. This is not something you go do in the house on your own or something like that with, you know, mom and dad and the kids, and we're going to have the Lord's Supper or something like that. I can prove that. I think we can see that from the scriptures too. Okay, and I'm not just saying that off the top of my head. So if that's the case, how precious and wonderful or whatever, I don't know what the right words are, to look upon what we're going to do this morning. It's a solemn thing is what I'm getting at. It is a solemn observance. It's not something we're going to joke about. You know, I like to joke a lot of times. I'm just a joking type person. But what we're going to observe here this morning, there is nothing joke about it. Nothing to joke about. It is a serious, solemn thing that we're about to do. Okay, so when you think about that, think about it. To be saved through the blood of Christ, to be able by grace to look to Christ as was pictured by that brazen serpent to Israel, like we covered back in chapter 3 on the pole that was lifted up, which pointed to Jesus Christ as being a substitute for people. To be able by God's grace to look to that and that alone. What a glorious privilege we have. You know, what a wonderful thing. Now, this supper that we're about to do, Gill says it was indeed typified by what Melchizedek did, who was himself a type of Christ as king of righteousness and of peace, and as the priest of the Most High God, who brought forth bread and wine to refresh Abraham and his weary troops. You remember that? Returning from the slaughter of the kings. You can read that in Genesis, because I'm going to run out of time quick, so I'm going to just tell you Genesis 14, verse 17 through 19. And it says that Melchizedek blessed Abraham. And you remember when we went through Hebrews, the lesser is blessed of the greater. So Melchizedek was greater than Abraham, which the Jews, Israel really looked up to. But Melchizedek was greater. And Christ, he is a type of Christ. And you know, under the Mosaic economy, a king couldn't offer a sacrifice. Remember that in 2 Chronicles chapters 26, 16, 24, 21. But Melchizedek was a king priest. He was a royal priest. That's what means by a royal priest. He was a king priest. And that was not under the Mosaic economy. But Christ is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. We covered all that in Hebrews quite a bit. And this is all 400 years that Melchizedek did this, 400 years before the Mosaic economy was even in effect. This thing that we're going to do this morning, it is not some offering for sin done by a priest on an altar. You know, the Mass has a priest, and they have an altar, and they say it's a sacrifice, a visible sacrifice. This is not what this is. This is not going to become the literal body and blood of Christ. It pictures that, and we'll see that. This is not called an altar, but the Lord's table. In fact, you can read that. I had it down here somewhere, but it's called the Lord's table. We may read that in a minute. I don't remember if I have it down here somewhere, but it's called the Lord's table, not the Lord's altar. Okay. Another thought here is the Lord's Supper is not the Passover, although it was instituted with the same elements and out of it, but it was instituted afterwards, and I think we can show that. We don't kill a lamb anymore. The Passover had a sacrifice, but Christ fulfilled that sacrifice. So we're not observing the Passover by doing this. This is a new ordinance. It is a new covenant thing, okay? And I want you to make sure that we see that. It has similitudes to the Passover. And obviously the Lord's Supper was instituted out of that meal, as we shall read, but yet it's not the Passover continuing. The Passover happens on a certain day, on a certain month out of the year. But, and I'm getting kind of ahead of myself, but he says as often as you do this. Didn't he say that? And he told some of those religious people, you observe days and times and years and all that. We're not observing this on a particular day. He said, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. So as all. What is all? As all. Well, that's just as often as we feel like, as often as we feel led to do it. And we didn't pick this morning by any reason other than all our members are here and we felt like it's time to do this. I think we ought to do it more often, maybe. You think? So anyway, it's as often as you do this. 1 Corinthians, we go read a lot of scripture. 1 Corinthians 11:25, it says, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had, past tense, supped, and we're going to get into that, saying, this cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. That's what we're doing. We're showing the Lord's death till he come. Yeah, that's right. Spurgeon, I'm going to just, and so you don't think this is just my thoughts on this Passover thing. Spurgeon said, as they were eating while the Passover supper was proceeding, Jesus instituted the new memorial, which is to be observed until he comes again. A new memorial. Gill says, the Lord's Supper, a supper, being instituted after the Passover, and I would say out of it because it was right there with it, an ordinance of Christ peculiar to the gospel dispensation. Dispensation? Well, yeah. You know, we're not hyper-dispensationalists. But you know, the Lord has dealt with mankind, Israel, and all that differently. We're in the gospel age, or the gospel dispensation. Well, guess what? The millennial kingdom will be another dispensation, if you want to call it that. Now, I'm not saying that people were ever saved anyway but the Lord, by the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't even think I'm even hitting at it. Men have always been saved by what Christ has done. It's the eternal covenant. That's how all they were saved, even as us. I think it says that in Hebrews, okay? So anyway, no, there's no new way of salvation, but there are. God has dealt differently. I mean, the church age, this church age was a mystery. Didn't exist, you know, although Israel might be in kind of type of a church and all that stuff, but still that wasn't a church. It wasn't the New Testament church. That wasn't the gospel dispensation that we're living in now, okay? And they had the Passover, and the Passover looked forward to something. This looks back to something. There's a lot of difference. It looked forward to something that hadn't happened. But when Christ came, it happened. And now we look back to something that has happened. And that's different, okay? Peculiar to this gospel dispensation, a standing ordinance in it, which is to continue to the second coming of Christ. Gill said the same thing. Now let's go read Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. I got verses 17 through 30. And hopefully, you know, I won't spend way too much time on this, and we'll have to leave here past 12. Okay, 17, what I said, Matthew chapter 26, verse 17. And the reason I wanted to start reading on 17, it says, "Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread." Notice that, unleavened bread. So, you think the Passover might have been done with unleavened bread? Probably so. So, if Christ is instituting this meal out of the elements of the Passover, it's probably unleavened bread. That's my point there, okay? Anyway, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, "Wherewith thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go unto the city and such a man, and say unto him, The master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples." And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. And we're going to go read this in Luke also, but I'm just going to read this right now. "Now, when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat," see, they were eating, they did eat, "he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is I?" I want to know the same thing, right? "And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born." That's quite a statement right there. "Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? I bet he knew in his heart it was. He said unto him, Thou hast said. And as they were eating," see, so they were eating the Passover meal, okay? So as they were eating, we're going to go and see in Luke, it was after he had supped. But anyway, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it." And that's, notice that, and break it. So that's one reason we're going to, this morning, and I can show you other places, we're going to break the bread this morning instead of yesterday. Okay? We're going to break it now. Because what is that point to? Well, he break it and gave to his to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Not literal, but think about what he's doing here. He's taking the elements of the Passover and saying, "This is my body." That Passover had been pointing to him all along. Think about it. It'd be like me taking a picture of my wife out of my pocket and saying, "This is my wife." Now, you think I really mean it's literally my wife? No. But if you grabbed it and spit on it, I might get a little mad. You know, I brought that up before. I think it's the same sort of thing here. "Take and eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." Now, that's interesting too, drink all of it. I don't know why he said drink all of it. I have an idea that since that represented Christ's blood, that Christ's blood is not going to waste. I think it, you know, that sacrifice, that thing was designed for God's people. That ark back there in the Old Testament, if I can use that as an analogy, was designed for 8 souls and those animals. And so I think here, this sacrifice is designed, that Christ will do, his blood was designed for his people. And so I think that's I'm just throwing that out there. I ain't being dogmatic about it, but he said, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Verse 30. "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." Now, I won't bring that up about singing a hymn because I'm going to go there in a minute, but just remember that, okay? They sung a hymn, and that's what we're going to do this morning. After we celebrate the Lord's Supper, and we're going to sing a hymn, and we're going to go. And we're going to think about this. They thought about it, I'm sure. What happened after that, the Mount of Olives? I might, you know, I had all this kind of organized, but I'm kind of just flying by the seat of my pants, okay? And it probably don't matter. Okay, so we see here that the elements that the Lord instituted, this was from the elements of the Passover. And that makes sense. And I've already mentioned that. I'll tell you what. But they went out to the Mount of Olives. Okay? I'm going to go there a minute. Let's go go look at Luke chapter 22 verse for a second, okay? Luke chapter 22. I got it marked here. Maybe for time's sake, we won't read all of this. Verse 7. I might read more than a whole lot. "Then came the day of unleavened bread again, when the Passover must be killed." So that's, we don't kill a lamb anymore, do we? No. Okay. "And he sent Peter and John, saying, go prepare us the Passover that we may eat." And anyway, and you notice the kind of the same thing that we had over there, okay? In verse 13, "And they went and found as he had sent unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." Before I suffer. That's what this is all about. This is, I'm telling you, this thing is pointing to what he went through. And we'll see what follows. "For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves." I don't know what happened here. I mean, it says take the cup and divide it among yourselves. Did they drink out of one cup and pass it around? I don't know. I don't think we can do that because I got a cold this morning. You see what I'm saying? Or for health reasons. But that's maybe that's what they did. I'm not sure. They might have drank all out of the cup. And he said drink all of it in the previous thing, right? Divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took the bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave them unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Not to offer me again, not to bring my sacrifice forward in time or something like what the Mass is. He says, do this in remembrance of me. It's a memorial. We're going to do this remembering what he has done for us. That's why we're doing this. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, also the cup, notice this word, after supper. So he took the bread and the cup, and it says here, after supper. I'm thinking that's after the Passover. So it's going right along, but it's out of it, and it's separate from it, if you will. But together, but it's a new thing. It's a new ordinance. It's separate, but together, if that makes any sense. Okay? So he says here, after 20. Likewise also the cup after the supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. You know, and you know, a testament has to have the death of a testator. Remember we studied that in Hebrews, right? And so he is about to die, and he's the death of the testator, and this is the New Testament. This is the New Covenant. This points to the New Covenant. It's not the Passover. But behold, the hand of him, it says, oh, whatever, okay. And let me just go on. And they began, in verse 23, and they began to inquire among themselves which of them that should do this thing about betraying him. Okay, that's what it was there. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted for the greatest. They're wondering, well, who's going to betray him? Then all of a sudden they're wondering who's going to be the greatest. That kind of sounds like a bunch of Baptists. Is that what you say? Okay. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And he that is chief, as he that doth serve. See, Christ, he's going to serve. If we're going to be great, we're going to be servants. That's what we want to be, servants, not big guys, you know? Okay? For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Well, he that sitteth at meat, but I'm among you as he that serveth. Wow. He's the one we're supposed to imitate too, isn't he? He's the one that we should imitate. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me, that you may eat, and I think this is a future kingdom, because look here, it says that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. I don't think they did that any time during this dispensation. And the Lord said, Simon, behold, Satan hath desire to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that your faith fail not. Boy, that's what I need. Otherwise it would fail, would it? That your faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both to prison and to death. Really? And he said, I tell thee, Peter, I tell you what, we can't do anything without God's grace. Peter is saying this in his own confidence, and the Lord's going to show him, buddy, you're going to fall flat on your face. He said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny me that thou knowest me. And he said unto them, when I sent
you without purse and scrip and shoes lack ye anything? And they said, nothing. And he said unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him take, sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished. And he was reckoned among the transgressors. That's about to happen. For the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. And he came out and went as he wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. So what happened here? He went out to the Mount of Olives. I'm ahead of myself, I think. But anyway. I'm way ahead of myself. After this meal had been finished with his small flock, and he did this before entering into his passion. And I see three things that have followed this concerning his passion. Next, he went to Gethsemane. That's the next thing. And both of those, you go back and read those, the context of all that. The next thing happened was Gethsemane. Well, what happened there? Remember, we talked about that in detail in the past. He suffered in his soul like no man ever suffered. He underwent horrifying fear so that he's, he said, don't fear what men. He wasn't fearing men. He was fearing the wrath of God in our place as our substitute. And he sweat, as it were, drops of blood. It was so horrible because that horrible thing is what we should have gone through. And so if you go look at all the, he's thrown into terror, he's thrown in all these things that describe what the lost will face in judgment when they know not Christ. So that's the first thing he enters into. He is substituting for me and you. And then the next thing is this mock trial. And he sits there and he takes it. And he takes being ridiculed and accused falsely, and he goes through all of that, and then they take him out and they crucify him. That's what follows this supper. That's what we're looking to. What he has done for us. I don't mean to get emotional. Okay, but anyway, I'm sorry. It touches me, huh? It just does. Yeah, and he did break bread in their presence. I think we already saw that, and that's why we're going to do that this morning. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat this. So, also in Acts 20, verse 7, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, they didn't break bread on the previous day. I guess is what I'm trying to point out. It broke bread, and it's the first day of the week, so it obviously it has to do with church service. Okay, and so the wine that we drink represents the blood, and the bread represents the body of Christ, right? And Christ instituted it in his church, I believe, and I think you can see that. He, remember I told you, we pointed out in Matthew 26, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. They sung a hymn. They sung a hymn. Hebrews 2:12 says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Christ sang a song in the midst of the church. He sang a song of praise. I'm sure their songs weren't our songs. They probably sang some song. A psalm that praise God. And so it says in Hebrews, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And they sang a song and they went out. And that's what we'll do. This was done in the church. Look at Brother Neil's in 1 Corinthians. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter. And we won't be much longer, because I'm going to have to hurry. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 18. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among all. And when ye come together, therefore into one place. What does that mean? Local, visible assembly. This is not to eat the Lord's Supper. So obviously they were coming together in the church capacity to eat the Lord's Supper, but they were really abusing it, from what I can see. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry and another is drunken. Well, they must have been using wine. One is drunken, okay. What, have ye not houses to eat and drink in? And despise ye the church of God? Notice that church of God, and shame them that have not. So evidently they were turning this supper into some kind of a fellowship hall meeting. I mean, it'd be like us going over here and we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Did y'all bring any pie, and did y'all bring any Popeyes and stuff like that? Oh, I brought my own Popeyes. And, you know, oh, you got more than I got, you know. So it kind of sounds like what's going on here. He says, or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not. Notice that, and shame them that have not. What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. And this is what we're going to probably quote when we go down here. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, that's the same night in which he was betrayed, notice that same night which he was betrayed, we covered that, and suffered all that he suffered, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it. Notice that, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Now I know they didn't break a bone, but his flesh was ripped to shreds. It was ripped to shreds, okay, and it represented his flesh anyhow, and his body. Take and eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had passed hence up, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Well, this was in church capacity, wasn't it? I mean, we just read it was. Church capacity. This is not something, when he said, don't you have homes to go eat and drink in? He's not talking about going to the Lord's Supper there. No, he's talking about go eat your food and drink your stuff and drink your wine or whatever. Do it in your house. With your, you know, with Popeyes fried chicken and all that stuff, you know. But this is something a little more different than that. This is a solemn thing. Wherefore, 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily. I don't think he's talking about being without sin. There is not one of us here that is worthy to loose, like John the Baptist said, I'm not worthy to loose. You know, we're not worthy in ourselves. We're worthy in Christ. But I think he's talking about in an unworthy manner, as they had been doing, and harboring sin in our lives and stuff like that. Look, if you're expecting to take the Lord's Supper, if you're expecting to get to some kind of plateau of sanctification before you take the Lord's Supper, you ain't never going to get there. I took the Lord's Supper right after I became a Christian. I guarantee the Lord's worked on me since then, I think. Hopefully, wouldn't you say? So anyway, so he says here, wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. It's that serious. Not that it's the literal body, but it's so
picturing him that if we do this in an unworthy manner or in lightly, or I don't know what the right word is, that we're guilty of the body and blood of Christ. He says, but here, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. He's not talking about eternal damnation, because read the context of it. Not discerning the Lord's body. Okay. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you. That's what he's talking about. And many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. See, it's chastening is what he's talking about, of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together, church capacity, to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye may come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. Pretty plain, isn't it? It's pretty plain. Well, that's probably enough, because we only have 5 minutes left, and so let's try to do the rest of this best I can. So, I guess go down here.
That's what the next step would be. And we decided that we're going to break the bread in everyone's presence. Okay? And since my hands are not clean, I'm going to put on some gloves. That way you don't have to worry about it. If I can get them on, what size did you get? Oh, I put it on wrong. I'm sorry, I'm joking again, and this is not a joking matter, I understand, but all right. This is a little different, and it's not the way Brother Jerry had been doing it, and the whole purpose of this is not to be legalistic or anything like that, but to make it more precious to us, if that makes any sense, right? So anyway, here it is. I mean, just think about it. He broke this to show that his body was broken. So we're going to break it, you know, and I'm... That's probably plenty enough. Brother Keith, would you come?
Yep.
And so I'm going to read this, and then Brother Keith can lead us in a word of prayer. And when he had given thanks, well, let me back up. For I have received of the Lord that which I have delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, that same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it. We have thanked him for it, haven't we? And said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Brother Keith.
Most Holy Father, we do come to you thanking you for what our blessed Savior did at Calvary for his people.
Amen.
His body was broken for our sins.
Amen.
And we thank you for that. Ever remind us that we partake of this, that his body was broken for the sins, our sins. He substituted in our behalf. Thank you for that great salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. And it's his name we do pray,
amen. Amen.
they all did eat, right? So we just... Paul says, after the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Brother Ted, why don't you, you want to come and lead us in a word of prayer?